Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور ويعلمهم هم الكتاب بالحق ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجع الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم الله the mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the 21st ayah of Surah 33, Surah Al-Ahzab, and an expression of it is, surely there is for you in the Messenger of Allah an excellent model of conduct for whoever remembers, whoever knows, whoever believes in the returning to Allah, that they will return to Allah, and who believe in the last day, and who think about Allah much and often. And Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. A report from the Prophet, an expression of it, from Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, moderation in expenditure is half of economy. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. And intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. So صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This today is the 12th part of the subject Taqwa and the Game of Life. Taqwa and the Game of Life. For the past 3 weeks or so, well, there are three sections to this hadith, and it's probably been about 4 weeks, where we addressed the first portion of this report, where it says moderation in expenditures, half of the economy. We've addressed that. Then the second one was, or is, friendship with good people is half of wisdom. We've addressed that. And today we want to simply spend time with intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. What underlies all of this is the fact that there's a university of human knowledge from a divine source, or the divine source, in just this one report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very important. One of the underlying principles of what we're saying and the why of the subject is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us is what is compact. It is compressed. When we talk about compressed, in a very small section is a very vast world of knowledge. And it's to know, it's about knowing that as Muslims and understanding the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for us in giving us the Quran, and in, of course, giving us Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the model example for it. And so what we've been doing is, common language nowadays, is unpacking, just taking this one hadith and unpacking it so as to show that it's given to us in abstract, meaning what? Truth without details. We're given the information, but we're not given the details. How does that work out? How does that play out? What does that look like in real time? That is, moderation in expenditure is half of economy. We spent time explaining that. Friendship with good people is half of wisdom. We spent time explaining that. Today, focusing on intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. This, again, to mainly say, here's an example of what you're supposed to do with what Allah has given you in the Quran, and or that is in either case in what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given. Because what we have when we have the Quran and when we have the seerah, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have everything we need. Allah says he has revealed to you everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life. But too often we don't know, okay, well, how do I unpack what we have been given and make it work in my life? When you understand that, then there's not a situation that you find yourself in life, not as a Muslim and a believer, there's not a situation that you find yourself in life where the answer has not been included in the revelation, either abstractly or concretely. So let's just stay with this as the one example. And, of course, in the end, the idea is, okay, therefore, what is my habit in order to achieve this in all ways in my life? But let's go through another report that I think many of you are familiar with already, but it is in support of understanding what the Prophet is telling us when he says intelligent questioning is half of knowledge. On the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu, that is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he also said, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there came before us a man with extremely white clothing and extremely black hair. There were no signs of travel on him, and none of us knew him. He came and sat next to the Prophet. He supported his knees up against the knees of the Prophet and put his hands on the Prophet's thighs. And he said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Islam is to testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, to accept the prayers, to pay the zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you have the means to do so. He, the questioner, said, "You have spoken truthfully or correctly." We were amazed that he asked the question, and then he says that the Prophet had spoken truthfully. The questioner then said, "Tell me about iman, or faith." He, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, responded, "It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in the divine decree, that is the qadr, both the good and the evil thereof." He said, "You have spoken truthfully." He said, "Tell me about al-ihsan, excellence or goodness." He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answered, "It is that you worship Allah as if you see him, and even though you do not see him, you know he sees you." He, the questioner, said, "Tell me about the time of the hour." The Prophet, peace be upon him, answered, "The one being asked does not know more than the one asking." He said, "Tell me about its signs then." He answered, "The slave girl shall give birth to her master, and you will see the barefooted, scantily clothed, destitute shepherds competing in constructing lofty buildings." Then he went away. I, that is Omar radiallahu anhu, I stayed for a long time. Then he, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "O Omar, do you know who the questioner was?" I said, that is Omar. He said, "Allah and his messenger know best." He said, "It was the angel Jibril who came to teach you your religion." Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to speak to the circumstances that surrounded the coming of Angel Jibril to Muhammad, and of course, leaving with us this hadith. The circumstances behind the hadith is given in one of the narrations, Sahih Muslim, of how and the circumstances in which Jibril came. It says, Abu Harar, radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah was saying one day, "Ask me about matters." The translator says, "about matters related to the religion." Then he goes on and says, "However, the people abstained from doing so." They would not ask the Prophet any questions in this particular moment. And that's so because they were overawed out of profound respect for him. In the meanwhile, a man came there and sat near his knees and said, "Messenger of Allah, what is Islam?" And so that was the beginning of it. So the issue was that the Prophet was asking, according to that statement, the Prophet was asking them, "Ask me questions." But nobody would ask them questions. The first report says that it is because it's out of profound respect for the Prophet. But here's the other context for that. According to Al-Ubayd, the reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ask me," is because they were asking a lot of questions, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, realized that some of them were asking obstinately. "Well, what about this? What about that?" You ever talk to anybody like that? So they're coming at the Prophet like that, right? Therefore, he, the Prophet, became angry and said, ask me, for by Allah, you will not ask me about anything except that I shall tell you about it as long as I am standing in this place." After hearing and seeing this, the people became fearful and they refrained from asking questions about or asking any questions. When the people refrained from asking questions, Allah then sent the angel Jibril to put these important questions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rest is history. So the idea is to recognize that asking questions is a habit that we should have, but not asking questions in an obstinate way, not asking questions for which you have no real use. Some people in group settings, they'll ask questions to in a side way, either throw shade or to tattletale, let's call it, on somebody else. Well, what do you say to people who do X, Y, Z, Z, Y, X? You're not really asking that question. You're trying to tell on somebody in the audience, right? Or you're asking questions for which you have no use. It's like, okay, even if you got the answer to that question, which we're pointing to, what could you do with it? So those are useless questions. And the Quran tells us not to ask questions that may cause trouble. Don't ask questions that may cause trouble. But if you ask questions when the Quran is being revealed, God will bless those and even forgive those when you're doing so in error, because people before you, Quran says, people before you asked such questions and on that account lost their faith. So asking questions in the right way and in the proper spirit is the way by which you get those answers. I'm recording an answer to a question that was put to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's an American astrophysicist at the Hayden Planetarium at the Rose Center for Earth and Space in New York City. So he was asked a question about Isaac Newton, or he was talking about Isaac Newton. And his response was this. He says, Newton was so connected to the universe, he was connected to the universe in a spooky way. We think of science as discovery, but before you make a discovery, you have to pose a question. And the most successful scientists in the history of the world are those who posed the right questions. Newton's questions reached into the soul of the universe, and he pulled out insights and wisdom that transformed our understanding of our place in the cosmos. He basically birthed the entire Industrial Revolution with the physics that enabled us to understand matter and motion and led to the understanding of energy, which is the foundation of the Industrial Revolution. So here's a case in point, a major case in point, to show what the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the truth and the wisdom of reality. The right question, the intelligent question, is half of knowledge. And so those people who are best equipped and capable of asking the right questions, that puts them in the best situation in order to acquire knowledge. So that's who we want to be. We have to learn how to question. We have to learn how to not just take what's being said and say, okay, well, that's enough, I got it. No, you want to ask questions. And you ask questions again in the right spirit, for the right purpose. Ask questions about and for which you have use. You do that, then you'll be in good shape. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ آمين آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. So in the subject, the role of taqwa in the game of life, taqwa and the game of life. All of the four segments that we've spoken to up to now and the use of that hadith as an example, for me, it brings me to the end of the side of it before we go into taqwa, before we go into taqwa. We haven't spent much time at all addressing taqwa. We mention it when it comes up. But let me just, for a few brief moments, this is going to be a shorter Jumu'ah day, for a few brief moments, kind of give a culminating type summary of the purpose of what we've said so far. So when we talk about the game of life means what is it that you have to do on an everyday basis in order to get the best out of life. We talked about the purpose of life. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل. Allah says that He is the one who has created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. So the nature of life is that life is a trial. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, let's give one more from the Quran. When the Quran tells us, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٍ إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٍ. That is Allah subhanahu wa taala telling us, look, difficulty. Relief, difficulty, relief. It is cyclical, but at the same time, the ease is with the The ease is with the difficulty. Now a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet drew a rectangle, and then he drew a line from the bottom of the rectangle up through its top, and then he drew cross-hatching lines on the center line, and he said, "This is man." So when you talk about abstract, abstract meaning truth without details, low definition description, pictures of what life is. So the Prophet has abstracted, this is the nature of life. Look at that picture, you get the nature of life. The outside box, that's death. The line going up through it, that's man's desires. The cross-hatching lines are the trials and tribulations of life. If any one of these lions fail to get him, there's one that will not get him, and that is every soul shall have a taste of death. Ultimately, all of us are going to die. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. The idea is that as we desire, that long line representing desires, this is where the difficulty and the relief comes in, because the nature of life is fraught with problems. That's the nature of life. There's nobody that has no problems. And everybody has different problems. And everybody has to face their problems. And all of us need a way, a wisdom, a wisdom for addressing life's problems, right? And this is why, and this is how we need to understand where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of the Prophet, peace be upon him, ba'athahu fil ummiyin. رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَعْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Very quickly to mention that, showing them he's from the Ummiyyah, he's from the unlettered, he's one who is close to the nature that he was created upon. And then he shows them the people, his people, and whoever follows him, shows them how to follow the signs of Allah, purifying them and teaching them the book and the wisdom. And each one of these steps are things that we have to do. Follow the Prophet's example, purify ourselves, study the book, and learn how to apply the book in our everyday life. That's what that formula is telling us to do. And so the game of life is, how do you make that advancement? How do you achieve? How do you accomplish? How do you acquire in this life with all of its trials, with all of its tribulations? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam models for us. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. If you look to Muhammad's model and whatever it is that you are facing, and you face it in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you to face it, then you'll continue to make progress upon progress upon progress. Yes, despite the fact that usri yusra, it's going to be that way till you die. So don't look for a time. That's a very important perception. Don't look for a time, man. I'm looking for a time where I will never have any more problems. No. You grow by solving problems. And when you look at, and again, you have to approach the problem with the right attitude. You have to approach the problem with the right disposition. If you approach it as a believer, the prophet has told us, how do you do that? He said the case for the believer is a strange case, because for the believer, it's all good. The ursri is good. The yusri is good. Why? Because in difficult times, they have sabr. And in times where they're blessed, they have shukr. When you have those attitudes, when that's your character, that's how you move. You move through life in that way. Very important. I always use this example, and I'll use it again now. Listen, if you've ever seen someone who had a limb, an arm in this case, that was dead, but it wasn't amputated. If you ever seen anyone like that, it's just hanging like a sack of, you know, a water balloon or whatever. Mashallah. But if you see a natural arm that's alive and the muscles are not atrophied or no other kind of problem with the muscle, then you'll see that there's a slight curve in it. It's bent just a bit, right? Why? Because of the tension between antagonistic pairs of muscles. You have the tricep in the back, you have the bicep in the front, and you have whatever tendons that connect, you know, the lower arm to the upper arm, and that's what gives it its tension. One is opposing the other. And our ability to do things is because the bicep enables us to do something, the tricep enables us to do something. Okay, so it is with life. In the ma'ala usri yusr. You have some things that are easy, you have some things that are difficult. You don't look for, and you don't strive for, and you don't try to behave in a way where I'm going to eliminate all the bad things in my life. And most people who are thinking about even doing that, they think they can eliminate it by doing wrong, right? What does that do? It only makes things worse, right? So the believer is one who always has either sabr or shukr. It doesn't matter. And understand this. We're talking about the game of life. Understand this. How do you know if something and when something that's happening to you is a punishment or a trial? Right? Well, it's a punishment or a blessing, because it's all a trial. It's all a trial. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophet, peace be upon him, this is why you have to have a storage of the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that is when you face a difficulty, then if in fact you are responding to it as though it's such a torture, it's such a torment, it's so oppressive and so painful, when you're moaning and groaning and have this kind of, screaming anger inside yourself perhaps, all that is a sign that Allah is punishing you. Allah is punishing you. That's the litmus test. How am I responding in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit, in my attitude to what it is that I'm suffering? I'm just going to mention it. And go look at when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif, and then he was pelted with stones and ran out of town and disrespected, dishonored, and he ran for his life, and he ran into this garden. And there's a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in that garden. And part of it is saying, why am I experiencing this? Why am I going through this? Look at, it's literally his dua is describing his situation. But it concludes in the prophet saying, nevertheless, Lord, if you are not upset with me, as long as you're not upset with me, then I'm fine. So the prophet acknowledged the reality of his circumstance. His circumstance were bleak, and he was telling Aisha, radiallahu anha, how the worst day of his life. That's what it's talking about. The worst day of his life. And that dua that the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave is a dua that if you find yourself coming into that state of mind for whatever reason, whatever time, periodically, where you know that I know that I should not be, feel, act, think this way because I believe in Allah and I believe in Al-Islam. But why am I feeling so terrible under these circumstances? I don't want to be punished by Allah. I don't think I deserve to be punished by Allah. I hope I'm not being punished by Allah. But one of the ways to assure yourself, based on what the prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is not a punishment, stop moaning, stop wailing, stop being anxious about it, and turn to your Lord and say to him, as the prophet said to him, that as long as you are not upset with me, I'm fine. Listen, Quran tells us, I believe it's Surah Ali Imran 139, where it says everybody has days of varying fortune. Everybody. And it's not just days. Sometimes it could be weeks. It could be months. It could be years. Allah is in charge of all of that. As believers, we accept the qadr. We accept that there are going to be things that we like and there are going to be things that we don't like. There are going to be times that we like. There are going to be times that we don't like. That's life. So to act like this should not be, why? Why? Where's your book? Where's your book? Look, it's right here. What's happening to me should not be. No. None of us have a book like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam models for us what to do under those circumstances. And if Allah favors us and blesses us to come to that state of mind where we don't moan, wail, grieve, become anxious in an extreme or to an extreme, then that's a sign that Allah has blessed you. That's a sign that Allah has blessed you. How are you carrying what it is that you're carrying? Are you carrying it in a way that respects your faith, that respects your relationship to Allah, that respects the fact that Allah has power over all things? Are you carrying it in that way? Can you look yourself in the eye, in the mirror, and say, I'm carrying it in the way that a believer should carry it? And if you can say that, being sincere, don't you ain't got, you ain't talk to Fahim. Now ain't talk to Fahim. You talk to you and your Lord, and you check your own heart and say, I'm with it. I'm carrying it. I'm going with it. Allah is never absent at any time or place. Allah is the owner of everything. He is Malikul Mulk. So it's like, why you gotta be so important? And God, I hate this little dude. I hate this little girl. Take care. You ain't that big. The nature of life. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us through those things is improve it. And sometimes we don't know where we need to be improved. Sometimes we just don't know. Where do I need improvement? You don't know. Allah knows where we need to be improved. And Allah says in the Quran, this is all the attitude of a believer. It's like, it may be that you dislike a thing through which Allah brings about a great deal of good. It may be that you love something that you should hate, and it may be that you hate something that you should love. You see, taqwa invites us to step back, get out of the picture, get out, step back. Now turn around and look at you. You look at you. Fahim, what you doing, man? Now, is this the way you're supposed to be going? Or is there support for the way you're being right now in the Quran? Is there support for the way you're being right now in the life model of Prophet Muhammad? Or are you drawing on something else to guide your behavior? Is the Quran and Al-Islam giving you your temperament? Is the Quran and Al-Islam giving you your disposition? Is the Quran and Al-Islam giving you the way that you're thinking about this? Is that attitude that's in you, is that from the Quran, Al-Islam, or is that from somewhere else? And you have to have that conversation with yourself. And you have to have that conversation with yourself sincerely. And once you have that conversation, and once you know what those answers are, inshallah, Allah will guide us to the best. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. Oh Allah, we don't have the power to control ourselves. We don't have the power to know ourselves. We don't have the power to understand the things that we do that are not in accord with what you have revealed to us. We need your guidance. We need your illumination. Oh Allah, enlighten us about ourselves. Enlighten us about our weaknesses. Enlighten us about our shortcomings. Oh Allah, illuminate our excuses. Illuminate our rationalizations. Illuminate our self-justifications so that we can eliminate all of them. Oh Allah, give us the strength to be able to look ourselves in the eye and search our own hearts and search our own souls and purify ourselves so that we can be true to what we have come to, because we come sincerely, but we know that we are weak and unable to master ourselves without your help, your aid, and assistance. Oh Allah, take away from us our habits of thought that undermine us. Take away from us our habits of action that undermine us. Oh Allah, without your help, we have no help, and we are completely lost. We ask this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa alaikum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استووا واستقيموا يرحمكم الله وثابكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قالا وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولا سوف يعطك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فأوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين تقبل الله الحمد لله we're gonna make a couple of announcements. We're gonna make sunnahs. Go ahead, make sunnahs. Just don't start the conversation on the floor. Shukran. So, alhamdulillah, what do we have? We have anniversaries and weddings. Ibrahim and Joyce al-Islam. That is December 6th. Alhamdulillah. Ibrahim and Rania Islam, December 23rd. Harith and Mahasin Aileen, December 18th. And Willie and Tiara Chapman, December 26th. Alhamdulillah. Birthday greetings to Imam Tariq Najiullah, alhamdulillah. And also, no soul food meal today, but I think the vendors are still in the house. So share the wealth, do that. We have to build an economy. Our condolences to our sister, Samia Muntasar Barakat. Her sister passed away the 30th. And may Allah have mercy on her and comfort the family, inshallah. Kind of brief announcements. Not forgetting anything else? Guess that's it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم.